God is glorious in his saints. Welcome to the Christian Saints podcast. My name is Professor Darren Ong, recording from Malaysia. In this podcast, we explore the lives of the Christian saints from the Anglican, Roman Catholic, and Eastern Orthodox traditions. Today, we commemorate Saint Benedict the Moor, also known as Saint Benedict the Black or Saint Benedict the African. Moor is a term of many meanings. Europeans used it to refer to North African Arabs or Berbers, but also sometimes the term is used to refer to Muslims, or as a blanket term to refer to all dark-skinned people. Saint Benedict was a child of African slaves, though not a slave himself, he was freed at birth. He lived his whole life in the Italian island of Sicily, near the city of Messina. He joined the Franciscans, or more precisely, he joined the Order of Friars Minor. Let us hear an account of his life from the book A Saint a Day by Birchmans Bittel, himself of the Order of Friars Minor, a Capuchin. Benedict was born of Negro parents, who were slaves on an estate near Messina in Sicily. Though of the lowest social rank, they possessed true nobility of heart and mind. As a baby, Benedict was freed by his master, and as a young boy, he showed such a devout and gentle disposition that he was called the Holy Moor. While working in the fields one day, some neighbors taunted him on account of his race and parentage. His meek demeanor greatly impressed a Franciscan hermit who was passing by and who uttered the prophetic words, "You ridicule a poor Negro now. Before long, you will hear great things of him." Wishing to join these hermits, Benedict sold his meager belongings and gave the proceeds to the poor, and then entered the community. After the death of his superior, Benedict was chosen as his successor, though greatly against his will. When Pope Pius IV ordered all hermits to disband or join some order, Benedict became a friar minor of the observance at Palermo and was made a cook. He was happy in this work, since it enabled him to perform many little acts of kindness towards others. His brethren were greatly edified by the saintly cook, especially when they saw angels at times helping him in his work. The chapter of 1578 made him guardian or superior of the friary, though he protested that he was not a priest. In fact, he could neither read nor write. He was a model superior, however, and won the esteem and obedience as well as the love of his subjects. As superior, he gave free rein to his love for the poor, and no matter how open-handed he was, the food never seemed to give out. After serving as superior, he was made novice master, and to this difficult post, he brought gifts that were evidently infused. He was able to instruct with an amazing knowledge of theology and to read the hearts of others. At his request, he was relieved of his office and again made cook. But he was no longer an obscure brother, for thousands flocked to the friary, seeking cures or alms or counsel and help. He died after a brief illness, having foretold the hour of his death. His veneration has spread throughout the world, and the Negroes of North America have chosen him their patron. Saint Benedict the Moor is a very important saint for the African diaspora, especially in the Americas, in countries like the United States and Brazil, which have a sordid history of Africans being brought over through the slave trade. Let us consider this perspective by Justin Farr, an African-American seminarian from Nashville who runs the Black Catholic blog. He writes this reflection on St. Benedict de Moure, and in particular, what he means for the African-American community. There is definitely, I have seen, an element within a small section of the Black community in America to see Christianity as a white man's religion due to the connection it has had with American chattel slavery and the well-known incident of forced conversion. For these reasons and others, some Black people, more younger individuals, reject the faith because they see it as part of what has robbed us of our African roots and heritage. Those among this thought don't see Christianity as something Black. Moreover, sprouting from this mode of thought has been a small resurgence of what I call a Black neo-paganism, in which some try to adopt a personal interpretation of African religion with theologies that propose ancient pagan gods and even elements of self-divination in an attempt to get back to the roots of our ancestors. When I encounter this form of rejection of the Christian faith, I acknowledge the terrible history of whites using it as an element within enslavement and subjugation, but then point to the firmly established history of African Christianity well before slavery, Ethiopian Christians, Coptic Christians, and the fact that Northern Africa was largely Christian for centuries before the conquest of Islam. The apostles and their successors and followers were bringing the true faith straight from the beginning. Not to mention, there is the strong history of countless Blacks using Christianity to overcome the very slavery and later systematic oppression and discrimination that they face, especially since there was never any room for either scourges against anyone who bore the image of God in the first place. Thus, there is much within Christianity to claim as our own. There is much that is Black. The Catholic Church is no different. Among the things we claim our own, the rich heritage of Black saints is ours for the taking. For there are threads among these holy ones that bind them to us and connect us to them. So the church is more than just a European thing. It's always been for us too, regardless of how anybody has treated us in the past. Tolton knew it, Mother Lange knew it, and Saint Benedict de Moure knew it as well. The stories of Black Catholic saints have been our stories, our history too. Just take a look at Saint Benedict's life and see how much stuff clicks for us back then and today. Saint Benedict had slave parents who were captured and in Africa purchased and owned by whites, given white European names, got freed, poor background, the skin color and poor background made fun of and despised, never given the chance of formal education, a menial labor job experience. He overcame the haters. He got hooked up with the squad, that is the Franciscans. He earned respect for his hustle. His spiritual game is on point. He always dressed fly. That Franciscan habit, though. He was young, Black, and gifted. Miracles, spiritual counsel, and angels helping him out. He gave back to the community by always helping the poor and accepted visitors. So he never forgot where he came from, and he stayed real. What do you see? Benedict is remembered for his patience and understanding when confronted with racial prejudice and taunts. He was declared a patron saint of African Americans, along with the Dominican lay brother, Martin de Porres. There are many Black Catholic parishes in the United States named after him. The last thing I want to reflect on is the fact that no matter how famous he got for his holiness or his generosity or his miracles, Saint Benedict always remained that humble dude that just wanted to work in the kitchen and cook for his brothers. When he got famous, he always accepted visitors and people seeking help with graciousness. but he never let that go to his head. Thus, even if he was never known, if he remained in obscurity, if he never was made a canonized saint for generations of others, including me, to look up, write about, and venerate by name, Benedict would have been just fine with that. He would have been content just to remain that cool, mild guy who worked in the kitchen. He still would have become a saint, even if nobody ever heard of him after he died. He would have been straight with that. When I think about his life in relation to myself, would I be satisfied with that type of life if God called me to live it? If I could still make it to heaven without much notoriety while on earth, would I be cool with that? Or do I need people to know something about me? Do I want to be noted for living a good Catholic life for the sake of being known? Do I not really want to be the most famous guy, but still want to be at least up there when it comes to people to remember for years to come? I guess there is a part of me that wants all that. But do I really need all that to get to heaven? No. In fact, I am probably better off without it for the sake of my soul. Saint Benedict is a reminder that he, that is Jesus, must increase. I must decrease. Saint Benedict lived his whole life in the Italian island of Sicily. In his hometown, however, Saint Benedict the Moor has not been as well known as he is in the Americas. In modern times, this is changing, however, as Sicily receives more migration from Africa. A good number of the Africans in Sicily are Catholic, and naturally find themselves drawn to Saint Benedict. Let us read a short account of St. Benedict's newfound popularity in his home island. This article is titled, In Mediterranean Europe, St. Benedict the Moor is Back, written by Philip Jenkins and published in the Christian Century magazine. Benedict Manasseri was born in Sicily in 1526, the son of African enslaved parents. After earning a reputation for his deep sanctity and healing powers, he joined the Franciscan Order in 1562. Popular veneration grew following his death in 1589, when he was remembered as Saint Benedict the Moor, a beloved figure in the era of the Counter-Reformation. He was canonized in 1807, the first black saint in modern times. Repeatedly throughout history, that racial element has attracted and sometimes disturbed believers. But in contemporary Europe, Benedict is acquiring a whole new relevance. Benedict has had special appeal for black followers. Several historically black Catholic parishes in US cities bear his name, and he is popular in Brazil. Sicily itself, however, has always evidenced some ambiguity about his background. After more than a century, as the unofficial patron saint of Palermo, and sometimes the whole island, he was gradually displaced. Images of him evolved to shift the focus from the saint himself to the very white figure of the infant Jesus that he carried. Such moves stirred up little controversy at a time when black faces were rarely encountered in Sicily. But that situation has changed rapidly in modern times, with the growth of immigration from the North African Maghreb and Sub-Saharan Africa. Over the past decade, the Mediterranean has been the setting for a migrant crisis on an alarming scale, as thousands of would-be newcomers have perished attempting to cross the sea. Today, 2% of Italians are of recent African origin, and the number is growing steadily. More broadly, the swelling African diaspora is forcing Europeans to rethink their history, to recall times in history when the Mediterranean was a highway rather than a border, when faiths, cultures, and ethnicities interacted extensively. Augustine and Tertullian were indubitably North African, and Euro-African encounters were much alive in Benedict the Moor's time, the 16th and 17th centuries as well. If the Mediterranean is Mare Nostrum, our sea, then who are the we who seek to apply that term? The question is doubly relevant to European Christians, who find themselves hosting thriving communities of enthusiastic African fellow believers. Many of Italy's recent migrants are Muslim, but the Christian share is substantial as well. A dazzling and provocative collection of photographs by Nicola Localzo focuses attention on these matters. His 2017 to 2019 series, Benedictu, is forthcoming in book form next month from L'Artier with English and Italian texts. The title is drawn from the local dialect form of Benedict. Benedictu is a reflection on religion, race, and identity in the larger Mediterranean world, of which the Afropean Benedict was a noble exemplar. More broadly, the book is a meditation on memory and forgetting, on recalling the racial complexities that Europeans knew in earlier times. Some of the photos depict what we might term traditional European piety, conservative and often elderly white Sicilians venerating the saint and carrying his images in procession, holy figures showing the black saint and the Christ child. But many show young black men in classic or stereotypical settings of traditional Italy, with their hands highlighted against the gleaming white marble that churches so often use to emphasize holiness and purity. Black hands hold an ornate chalice. A sizable tattoo of Benedictu appears on a black arm. A modern-day Congolese friar drapes his arms around a white marble bust. These images explicitly draw on the iconography of Mannerist or Baroque art, but using African faces. These photographs use the setting of 1,000 pious Italian paintings that we know from so many art galleries, with all the well-known topography and vegetation, except that the central figure is an African. Epitomizing the series is a photograph of one modern-day friar, Eudone Benedetto, from the Ivory Coast, who reached Sicily by boat and subsequently discovered the story of his African predecessor. The Eudone stands in his friar's robe in a classic stance of heavenly supplication, in a setting that is just waiting for El Greco, a refugee from an earlier epoch, to come and capture the moment on canvas. For me, the most memorable image shows a group of African youngsters playing soccer under the watchful gaze of an African-featured Benedict the Moor painted on the side of an apartment block some 60 feet high. The mural is the work of a contemporary Palermo artist, Igor Scalisi Palminteri, who shares Localzo's fascination with European-African encounters as reinterpreted through Catholic iconography. Another of his murals depicts St. Erasmus or St. Elmo, traditionally a patron saint of sailors, but here shown clutching two oars and wearing a life jacket, in an obvious reference to the thousands of Africans who brave the seas each year to reach Europe. St. Benedictu speaks forcefully to contemporary Europe. Saint Benedict the Moor is celebrated as a saint in the Roman Catholic Church with feast day on April the 4th. Thank you for listening to the Christian Saints podcast. Look for the Christian Saints podcast page on Facebook or Instagram, or find us on Twitter at podcast_saints. All music in this episode was composed by my good friend James John Marks of Generative Sounds. Please check out his music at generativesoundsjjm.bandcamp.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider giving us a good review on iTunes or whatever podcast app you use, so more people can find the Christian Saints podcast and be blessed by these stories of God's saints. let us say this prayer, which is part of the Novena prayers said by Roman Catholics on St. Benedict the Moor's feast day on April the 4th. You served God by thirsting for his word and desiring, most of all, a poverty of spirit and a communion of heart with him. O lover of solitude and prayer, of pure heart, meek, humble, peaceful, and generous, with selfless love towards others, pray for us that we too may live in austerity and simplicity of life.